Good morning and welcome to Sports Interview with Ann Liguori on this Saturday morning, June 20, 2020. Glad you can join me at my new time slot. Saturday mornings now from 7 to 8. A little earlier than we're used to. Been on from 9 to 10 for so many years. And station's new call letters as well, WLIW. So here I am, 7 to 8, bright and early. And it's probably better for those of you who are heading to your tea times, right? And if you miss the show live from 7 to 8, you can always catch it on my website at annliguori.com. And I turned it into a podcast on Audio Boom under Sports Interview with Ann Liguori. Well, this morning, we continue with our golf theme and music theme, really, as I talk to somebody who is a musical icon and a passionate golfer, the king of shock rock, the great Alice Cooper. Alice and I have been friends for a long time. We have golfed together several times. I play in his charity golf tournament in Scottsdale. And, you know, he's just a joy to be with. He's addicted to golf. And I just find him so fascinating and a lot of fun to hang with. In addition to continuing to perform at the age of 72 all over the world, Alice Cooper brings his clubs with him wherever he goes. So he plays golf during the day and performs at night. And he spends a lot of time raising money for the Solid Rock Foundation, which provides programs for underprivileged youth. And, you know, another thing that's amazing about Alice Cooper is, well, he's busier than ever performing. And at his age, he still very much connects with young people and has a lot to say to them and with them. And I think you'll enjoy this interview with the great Music Hall of Famer, passionate golfer, Alice Cooper. And in the first half of the show, PGA Tour and Champion Tour winner Billy Andrade will join us to talk about what he's been doing during this pandemic, how he has managed to keep his golf game in shape. He's playing on the Champions Tour now, and you know they lost a good number of events this year already due to the pandemic, but they are looking forward to starting July 31st through the August 2nd with a tournament in Michigan at Warwick Hills Golf and Country Club in Grand Blanc, Michigan. It's called the Alley, A-L-L-Y Challenge. So that's the first Champions Tour for 50 and over for the men. That's their first tournament, and Billy is looking forward to playing with that. So we'll learn a little bit about Billy Andrade, a Rhode Island guy, in the first half of the show. Nick Watney, a five-time winner on the PGA Tour, tested positive yesterday for the coronavirus. He's the first player with a positive test since the PGA Tour resumed last week. Watney withdrew immediately from the RBC Heritage, which is going on now, and he must self-isolate for at least 10 days. And the tour will provide a stipend to pay for the costs of his self-isolation. They really do take care of the players. He played the first round on Thursday with Vaughn Taylor and Luke List. And apparently he traveled on his own to South Carolina. He played last week at the Charles Schwab Challenge in Fort Worth, Texas. Missed the cut there. Not sure if he flew commercially or if he drove to Hilton Head. But his test for the coronavirus when he arrived on Hilton Head at Harbor Town was negative, which is interesting. And then a few days later, he came down with some symptoms and got tested again. And he's positive and withdrew immediately from the RBC Heritage. Last week at Colonial, the PGA Tour administered 487 tests and none came up positive. Of course, that was the players, the caddies, and anybody at the venue. Webb Simpson is the leader after two rounds at the RBC Heritage on Hilton Head Island. Simpson made a six-foot putt for birdie on the final hole. He shot a 6-under-65 to take a one-shot lead over Bryson DeChambeau and Corey Connors after two rounds. DeChambeau made six birdies on his final nine holes, shot a 64. Connors shot a bogey-free 63, so the scores continued to be low at these first couple tournaments on the PGA Tour. Simpson does not hit as long off the tee as many of the guys on the PGA Tour, including DeChambeau, who's just crushing the ball net now that he gained 20 pounds. And his clubhead speed is a lot faster. But he said, Webb Simpson said, that his distance control and ability to shape shots is what has helped him. So he's in the lead by one. Ryan Palmer, he shot a 63. He's two shots behind Webb Simpson. Dustin Johnson, who missed the cut last week at Colonial, he shot a 66 on Friday. He is in a group four shots back. Rory McIlroy shot a 665 on Friday. He's 5-under overall, seven shots back. Jordan Spieth at 6-under overall is six shots back. The Belmont Stakes, rescheduled today from June 6th, kicks off what they're calling a backwards triple crown. The Belmont is getting things started for the first time, followed by the Kentucky Derby, which is scheduled for September 5th, and the Preakness, which is scheduled for October 3rd. And the early 6-5 favorite is a horse called Tiz the Law. He'll try to become the first New York bred horse in 138 years to win the $1 million race at Belmont. Barclay Tagg, at 82 years of age, is the horse's trainer. So Tiz the Law is the horse to watch. And adhering to new rules caused by COVID-19, no owners or fans are allowed at the track for Belmont, which usually draws 90,000 people. Five players for the Philadelphia Phillies have tested positive for COVID-19 at the team's spring training camp in Clearwater, Florida, prompting the club to indefinitely close the complex. Three staff members at the camp have also tested positive. The Tampa Bay Lightning closed their facilities indefinitely Thursday after three players and additional staff members tested positive for COVID-19. The team said that the players were largely asymptomatic and were self-isolating. Clemson University said 28 of their athletes or staff members have tested positive, 28 for COVID-19 since returning to school June 8. The athletic spokesman said that most who have tested positive are asymptomatic for coronavirus and none have required hospitalization. The New England Patriots are offering season ticket holders at an elevated risk of COVID-19 infection the chance to skip the 2020 season entirely and still hold on to their seats for next year, which is a great policy. The policy appears to be, according to the AP, the most generous or cautious one yet announced by an NFL team in response to the coronavirus pandemic. All right, don't forget to wear a mask, everybody, and take precautions. We are not out of this danger here. We have to continue to be very careful. So wash your hands all the time, wear masks, and continue to social distance. We have to continue to maintain here as we gotta beat this crazy virus. Sports Interview is brought to you by Peak Vision Sunglasses, PEAK Vision Sunglasses, zero distortion and patented dual zone lens technology. PeakVision.com, PEAKVision.com. And Sports Interview with Ann Liguori is brought to you by Dune Jewelry and my Hamptons Rope Collection. Savor the memories for men and women. Dune Jewelry, D-U-N-E, jewelry.com.
I know you're struggling right now. We all are, in different ways. It's like a new world that we don't even know. It's hard to sleep, even harder to dream. But look, you got 7 billion brothers and sisters all in the same boat. So don't panic. Life has a way of surviving and going on and on. We're not fragile, and we sure don't break easy.
You know it's so hard to cope when you're just hoping there's hope. We're all.
My guest, Billy Andrade, winner on both the PGA Tour and Champions Tour, and golf buddy of Ellis Cooper's, I understand. Good morning, Billy. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Ann. It's a pleasure and honor to be on with you this bright and early Sunday morning.
So you have an Ellis Cooper story, I understand?
Yeah, we played in the Bob Hope Classic back in those days, and we were like in the last group on, you know, one of the first couple rounds, and he's talking to a volunteer on the 18th fairway, and we were all waiting for him, like, come on, Alice, it's, you're up, you have to hit, it's getting dark, we're barely getting finished. And he kept talking with this guy, and he's trying to get away from the volunteer, and finally he comes up, and we finished the hole, and I said, what was going on back there with the volunteer? And he said, well, the volunteer was asking me if I could volunteer and sing at the volunteer party, which was in a couple nights. And Alice was trying to explain to this gentleman that, you know, do you understand what the songs that I sing? I sing about death, and I don't think you want me to play the volunteer party in a couple nights. So it was really funny. It was a cute story. The guy was just trying to be nice and try to get all the celebrities that sing to play for the volunteers. And he was trying to get Alice, but didn't understand where Alice's genre and what he and all the songs that he sings.
Exactly.
I don't think it would have gone well over at the volunteer party.
Although he does have some ballads. We've played a couple of them during the show. But anyway, so you're still playing, going strong, but, you know, there are 11 Champions Tour events left on the calendar after, what, 10 cancellations, right?
Yeah, we've decided to do a wraparound season. So this year we're going to try and play as many tournaments as possible. We just got some bad news last week that the Bowen Classic and the Shaw's Charity Classic have both been canceled this year, which was part of our reboot at the beginning of August when we play the Ally Challenge in Grand Blanc, Michigan. So we're going to do a wraparound season. Our last three playoff events, which normally would be 72 players to 54 players at the second to 36 at the Schwab Cup final, we're going to have full field events. We're going to have 81 players play instead of 78 to give as many guys an opportunity to play this year. So it's really disappointing that we're in this situation, but we all understand that safety comes first. We want everybody to be safe, and we're so sad we can't go to some golf tournaments that were on the schedule, but we do have two that were rescheduled. Our Regions Tradition in Birmingham is rescheduled for the last week of September, and also the Principles Charity Classic in Des Moines, which is a great event on our schedule. That has been postponed. That's been rescheduled for September as well. So, unfortunately, we know where we're at. We have great sponsors on our Champions Tour. Everybody understands the situation, and we're just going to plow through our wraparound season, which means that next year it's just a continuation of this year. So we won't have a Charles Schwab Cup champion this year. It's going to flow into next year, which I think is the right thing to do with so many of our season being canceled.
Are you concerned about traveling right now and the virus? I mean, do you think twice about maybe going to some of these events when they do resume?
I haven't gone anywhere. I mean, we really have hunkered down here in Atlanta, and you know, we haven't been out to dinner. We haven't done a whole lot. I just started playing golf again a few weeks back. So we've really taken this thing seriously here in Atlanta. But I'm a little concerned right now, but then again, in a couple months, or at the first of August, am I going to be ready to jump on a plane? I don't know. I'm in that wait and see mode and see how it all comes down. But, you know, the PGA Tour starting this week is giving us a good barometer, see how they do, see if there's any issues. You know, they've really created this bubble of a test before you leave your home, a test the minute you get to the course, when you get on property at the tournament, a skeleton TV crew, no spectators. So you're really in that bubble that they've created. And, you know, hats off to Jay Monahan and the PGA Tour staff for getting golf to start up again and doing it the right way, where safety does come first. But, you know, I feel bad for all our international players that have to come over, and then they really have to stay. They can't really go back home, because if they go back home, they have to quarantine for 14 days and then come back over here. I think our government has given them a leeway to not have to quarantine coming over. But I just feel bad for those guys that, you know, that their families can't come with them. And hopefully those restrictions will change once the summer hits and maybe things lighten up. But only time will tell.
Yeah, I agree with you. I commend the PGA Tour for everything they're doing, because everybody, let's face it, everybody in sports is watching them, right, at this point. No players or caddies tested positive for the coronavirus, according to PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan. And, you know, they conducted like 487 tests, not only players and caddies, but all the personnel that's on the course. So it's a major production, even before they leave to go to these tournaments, right? So far, so good, right? It looks like it's going well. And are you excited to see some golf?
Let's keep our fingers crossed, that's for sure. Yeah, it's been wonderful to watch. It's been wonderful to watch. You know, it's a little different. Seems like a lot of tape shots. You see a guy hits his drive and all of a sudden he's hitting his next shot. It seems faster the way the production has gone the last few days. But it's so great to hear Jim Nance's voice. It's so great to see golf again. It's so great to, you know, every year the Colonial and then this coming week the Hilton Head event. They both, because of the golf courses are not long and, you know, you have to be creative. The leaderboards are always stacked. There's always, like, you know, it's always packed and it's always, you know, close bunched. And they sure as heck got a close bunched leaderboard this weekend. And, you know, the way I was looking at the leaderboard before I came on with you, anyone, I think, with at 10 under, which is three back, there's so many players between 13, Schauffele and 10 under. So I think somebody from, you know, out of the pack there, I think 10 under can still win, maybe nine, but, there's so many guys bunched up, and it should be a very exciting final round today.
I mean, what a great leaderboard. Xander Schauffele, he's leading by one at 13 under, but you have JT right in there. You have, Rory, Gary Woodland, Brandon Grace.
It's star studded. It's
Jordan
it's
Spieth.
So great to see.
So what's the first thing when you don't play? And a lot of these guys came in rusty, no doubt about it. What's the first thing to go when you can't really play regularly, match play, competition?
Yeah, I think, you know, that's a great question, Ian. I think the thing that takes more time is your short game and putting, because you can't really simulate. You can practice all you want. You can work on your long game. You can hit balls. Your long game comes back a little quicker. Doesn't take as much time to get your timing back. But I think the feel and being under pressure and having a putt and chip shots around the greens, those are the things that take a little longer, I think, to get back. But you know, and putting is the obviously it's the biggest key. And you know, it sometimes, you know, you're practicing your putting, you're practicing a routine, but then that routine you have to let that flow once you get on the golf course in tournament golf, which is so much different than going out and playing with your friends. It's not even the same. So I think that's the biggest thing, just the short game and putting under pressure.
Absolutely. And Jordan even said the other day he missed, what, three or four two-footers, two-foot, three-foot putts, right? And he said when he's out playing with his friends, you don't even make those putts. You just kind of just gimme and go on. But you have to putt. Those are the putts that are so hard to make because you're expected to make them. And even the pros miss those short putts, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You got to you know, those are the ones that make or break you. And, once you miss a couple, then all of a sudden, you know, you get a little jittery on the next one. And now all of a sudden you start thinking too much. And that's not a good thing. You know, when Jordan Spieth and all the great putters, if you think of all the great putters in the world, They all have great routines, and it looks pretty flowing, and there's no ifs, ands, or buts. You look at them, and they look so comfortable over it, and they're going to make it. And then once you start missing a few, man, I'll tell you what, there's a little delay in there, and you're hoping to make them instead of knowing you're going to make them, and that's a bad feeling to have.
Oh, man, it just wreaks havoc on your psyche, right?
Yeah. Yes,
I mean,
sure
Jordan Spieth. Look, I mean, look how he's supposed to have this great short game, great putter as well, right? And he's out of the top 50 right now. Here's a guy who just won everything when he first started out. So how does somebody like a Jordan Spieth kind of get out of that slump and get into the winner's circle again?
Yeah, I think again, a great question. He had a run there that all great players have that dominate the game for a couple of years where it seemed like he couldn't miss. And if he missed a green, he always seemed like he was chipping in. You always saw him chip in here and chip in there and chip in to win in Hartford. And then all of a sudden when your game goes a little bit and you start missing a few putts and you start not chipping in and you're not scoring it, biggest thing you do is you keep playing. You're going to have a long career. And I remember back in the day, Marco Mira was going through a slump. And Marco Mira, to get out of the slump, he played every week. And I admired that so much that instead of going home and kind of, taking 2 months off or 3 months off, Marco Mira played 12 weeks in a row to try to get out of this slump he was in. And I think that's when you're in a slump and you're in a scoring drought and you're not playing up to your potential, I think the best thing to do is to keep playing and play out of it instead of going home and sulking and, why me, poor me, I got to go talk to this teacher or that teacher or this psychologist and try to get everything back and then come back out with a reboot. And then what happens if you don't, when you come back and you get worse, which can happen. So I think the biggest thing for Jordan is just keep playing. Keep at it, and keep a good attitude, and good things will happen.
Right. And yet, in some kind of weird way, maybe 3 months off because of the pandemic maybe helped some of these guys, especially the guys with injuries like a Brooks Koepka or who knows when Tiger's going to show up and play. But, sometimes that's a break like that is good too, right?
Absolutely, and it's probably why Jordan coming back playing a course like Colonial, which he's very familiar with, and he's had great success at, and that's probably a big reason why he's right up there with a chance to win today, is that he took some time off and got away from it, and maybe the pressure was getting to him. I don't know. I've talked to him a few times, but I really don't know him that well, so I can't really say what's really going on with his game, but. I always say that, you can only, the ball's going to go in the hole for you just so much, and then you're going to have a little lull, and then the putter will come back, and you'll start putting well again. You just go through ebbs and flows of this game, and sometimes you're hot as a firecracker, and you can't miss, and other times you can't find it, and that's what golf is like. The game wins. You don't win. You just try to survive it and try to grind it out every day and play the best you can, and some days you play great and some days you don't, but the game wins every day, and you just try to compete and play the best you can. And this pandemic, being away from the game, is going to help some players and it's going to hurt some players. Some players are going to come back and be rusty and not play as well, and you look at some of the guys that missed the cut this week, you think, how the heck can they miss a cut? How good they are. But, sometimes they're just not quite on. And you go home on Friday and it's not a great feeling. And they'll come back next week and try again. So it should be, I'm just so excited that golf's back and we'll get a chance to watch. And in a few months, the Champions Tour will be back and I'll be back out competing again. I think that's the biggest thing all of us miss is the camaraderie with your friends but the competition, and that's what drives us to try to keep going, is getting that stupid little white ball or yellow ball in the hole as quickly as you can.
I know, right? Real quick, you're a winner on the PGA Tour and the Champions Tour. What would you say is the biggest difference now on the PGA Tour when you played?
The biggest difference when I played the PGA Tour versus now?
Yeah, exactly.
I think there's just way more better players that come out of college that are just polished, and they're just they're ready to win right away at a younger age. So there's more of them from around the world that have come over to the United States and played our tour. When I started back in 1988, was my rookie year. There were no international players that were at Q School. Now there's more international players that are in the top 30 coming to Eastlake for the Tour Championship than there are American players. So there's so many more. The talent pool is just so more amazing today than it was back when I started. So I would think that's probably the biggest difference, and the technology of how different the game is today from when I started.
Sports Interview is brought to you by Peak Vision Sunglasses, PEAK Vision Sunglasses, zero distortion and patented dual zone lens technology. PeakVision.com, PEAKVision.com. And Sports Interview with Anne Liguori is brought to you by Dune Jewelry and my Hamptons Rope Collection. Savor the memories for men and women. Dune Jewelry, D-U-N-E, Jewelry.com.
Welcome to my breakdown. I hope I didn't scare you. That's just the way we are when we come down.
Alice Cooper, the King of Shock Rock, Hall of Famer, singer, songwriter, actor, and passionate golfer. An absolute legend in the music business and a good friend for a long time. Welcome, Alice Cooper.
Ann, are you playing a lot? Are you playing during this pandemic?
You know, I have been. Our course in Florida has been opened the whole time with a lot of restrictions. And then in New York, I played a little bit. I'm going back and forth. But how are you doing? Are you playing at all?
I'm in Arizona where it's golf heaven here. You know, even at the very beginning of the pandemic, they left the golf courses open because they said, well, you're outside and you're not in a crowd. So leave the golf courses open. So I was very happy about that. We were in Germany doing shows. And the next thing you know, we did Berlin, and they said, okay, 48 hours from now, we're closing the borders. So get home. And, you know, I think we canceled 130 cities, you know, between the Alice Cooper show and the Hollywood Vampires. You know, I mean, there was a lot of shows booked. But, you know, they're just postponed. We'll end up doing them again, you know.
Well, you and I go way back, Alice Cooper. I mean, I enjoyed the golf we have played together. You, Shep Gordon, your manager, and me. I think one of those rounds was at Congressional. I remember that one. I don't know if you remember it. It was a long time ago. Then we taped that Golf Channel, that Conversations with Anne Liguori show at, I think it was Legends Trail in Scottsdale.
Yes. And we were talking. It was really funny because when we were talking, we had a shot. I think I was about 80 yards off the green, and I had to make a little chip shot. You said, go ahead and hit it, and I knocked it in.
I know.
We got it on film, so.
Yeah, we really did. It was perfect timing. And, well, you know, you're a performer, so you know how to get hot when the cameras are on. But you've been playing a lot of golf. Go ahead.
I play every single morning, you know, in Arizona. I'm up at, in fact, I have a round tomorrow at 5:20 in the morning.
Oh, my.
So because it's 110, you know, I mean, it's really getting hot. And I like playing in the morning anyways. I like to get out in front of everybody because it's a difference between a five-hour round and a two-and-a-half-hour round, you know. But
sure.
There's 200 courses in Phoenix, and so, you know, it's actually, without golf, I don't know, I'd be sitting around binging on everything on Netflix
all day. So I feel like I'm doing my duty, playing golf in the morning, and then watching TV all day.
What a life.
I'm doing my duty, yeah.
Well, no, you're right about, I love desert golf. Scottsdale has some great golf courses. I love Greyhawk. I love Desert Mountain. I mean, there are just so many great courses there. And, you know, when we did that show, Alice, I remember you were very, very honest. And I remember you telling me years ago that the day you got out of rehab, you played 36 holes of golf and haven't stopped.
That's right. I you know, 37 years ago, I stopped drinking, stopped taking drugs, stopped doing all that stuff. And I had to find an addiction that wasn't going to kill me. And because all my other addictions were killing me. And it also, you know, Cheryl and I have been married now 44 years, going on 45. And she went through that with me. Of course, I was a happy drunk. I was never an angry drunk. I was never a morbid drunk. I was always kind of Dean Martin, you know, when it came to that. So nobody really saw the problem except my all of my organs were starting to fail. And so I quit, and I said, well, I was a good baseball player, so golf shouldn't be that hard. I mean, I could hit a 80-mile-an-hour fastball. I should be able to hit a ball that's not moving. Well, that's what everybody thinks until they start playing golf. And then I took a year off, and I played every day, 18 in the morning, 18 in the afternoon, with a pro. And so by the end of that year, I was a 9 handicap.
So what's your handicap these days?
Oh, I'm playing right around 4, yeah.
Oh, wow. Good for you. Yeah. Do you find yourself improving, you know, mentally, and as you get older, are you losing any distance off the tee? What's your game? Is it getting better, or do you see, are you losing a little distance?
This is really funny because I am at 72. I never thought I'd be in 2 touring bands. You know, at 72, you start thinking, well, you know, let's start backing it off a little bit. I'm doing 190 shows a year now. Between my band and the band with Johnny Depp and Joe Perry, with the and recording at the same time, and doing the radio show, and doing solid rock, and, you know, I mean, all of that stuff all together, and I'm in better shape now than I've ever been. So
that's awesome. I'm
hitting the ball further now than I've ever hit it.
Right. Well, because you watch what you eat. You're probably you're exercising every day, right? You got rid of all the bad stuff. So it's good to hear that you're in the best shape of your life. I love it.
Yeah, it's really amazing. It doesn't, you know, when people say, well, when are you going to retire? And I go, why? Why would I retire? So I could play golf? I play golf anyways. When I'm on tour, Callaway sets up our golf, whatever city we're in, you know. And so, like, I'll be in St. Louis one morning, and we play 9 holes. My guitar player and my bass player both play. And then we do the show that night, and we take our tour buses to the next city, which is Louisville. We get in at 5:00, have breakfast, and we're on the tee at 6:30, play 9 holes, do the show. So, I mean, I don't ever miss any golf. I just, you know, I just do it in the morning and the show at night.
I love it. And you're still with Callaway. You're still with Callaway Golf.
Callaway.
I remember that commercial you did for them. In fact, that's how we met, come to think of it. A long time ago, Bruce Parker, who used to be with Callaway, I said, I'd like to interview Alice Cooper. He put us together immediately on one phone call. We organized the TV shoot, and there, voila, we did the show. But you were with Callaway way back when.
Oh, yeah. We've been Callaway. I've been with him 27, almost 30 years now.
Wow.
You know, well, you know, the way I got the gig was I was playing golf, and I went up with, you know, to Ely at a party, and I said, Ely, hit the ball, Alice. I'm Alice. And he goes, oh, I love that. That's great, man. That's really a cool idea. And the next thing I do, I did 12 commercials with them, and he was cool enough. We would do the commercial, and then he would say, now, what would you do in this commercial? And I would write a different commercial. We almost always used my commercial. It had a funnier punchline than the other ones, you know. And so he allowed me to really contribute to the, you know, I told him, I said, if you want to sell your clubs to everybody, because at that time, people equated Callaway with Rolex, Mercedes-Benz. My boss plays Callaway. He says, how do I get to middle America? I said, you have to have fun with your product then. Make fun of your product. And that's what we started doing. We started having fun, you know, making fun of, you know, me and Johnny Miller together on a golf course. Well, that's, you know, a pair you're never going to see. This King of Shock Rock and Johnny Miller, the Mormon, you know, playing golf together. I said, that's funny. Just that is funny. And then we started writing funny little lines, and it worked. The stock went from 6 to 30, you know.
Wow. I love Ely Callaway. Boy, he gave you artistic license. How great is that? Well, Alex, you've been performing.
You got to tell me something. You got to tell me something, Ann, okay?
Yes, yes.
Ely loved pretty girls. Okay, and that was not a secret. In fact, when he was on his deathbed, I called him and I said, I will bet you right now there are three beautiful nurses around you. And he goes, four. So he probably
like
came
him.
On to you, and he probably came on to you at one point.
You're so funny. No, he was very, he did not cross the line with me. Now, you know, Bruce, our buddy, you know, that was a different story, but.
Well, Bruce, you know, Bruce was more of a rock star than anybody I've ever met. He used to wear my band out. Because he would party with them more than any rock star. He would say, okay, we're going to go to Vegas on the day off on our jet. And I'd go, could you bring them back before the show? And they would come back and they would go, unbelievable. He just wore us out.
Oh, my goodness, Bruce. You know, I told him I wanted to interview Celine Dion, too, because I know she did a commercial for Callaway. And within 5 minutes, he had me on the phone with Celine Dion and her manager husband, Renee. And that shoot was organized in literally five minutes.
He
was amazing.
Best salesman. He was the best salesman on the planet. I mean, the guy was the best salesman. And he could sell anything to anybody. Great guy. We really miss him. Yeah.
We really do miss him. But, you know, you're talking about, you know, playing golf all these years and performing for decades, really 50 some years, even more. What's the secret, Alice, to your longevity and your consistency, do you think?
You know, it's just like golf. I never get tired of golf. I get up in the morning and I don't know, you know, every shot is different. You know, and I never get tired of the game. I never got tired of rock and roll. I never got tired of the excitement of rock and roll. I think some people get older and they start listening to jazz and they start listening to classical and all this. Go and see Pete Townshend from The Who. He's 74, 75. When he's on stage, his knuckles are still bleeding from hitting the guitar so hard. I tell every young band, do you want to see the heart and soul of rock and roll? Go see Pete Townshend. He is still angry up there. He's an angry rock and roller, and that's what makes him so great.
And you still have a passion for music, as you have, you know, a similar passion for golf. And what do you think you bring from your musical career to golf?
Well, you know, if anything, you know, the trick to golf is rhythm. You know, I mean, when you get on a golf course and you're playing with three good players, I watch their rhythm. I don't watch their swing. I don't watch anything. I watch their rhythm. And I go, okay, this guy's rhythm is really good. Or I can go, I'm going to bet with that guy because I've seen three different swings today. You know, I know that guy's rhythm is off. Johnny Miller was my teacher, you know, so he taught me a lot about hitting fairways and about hitting greens. And that's the whole game.
Sure.
You know, it doesn't matter if you hit it 350 yards or if you hit it 240. The guy that is hitting at 350 is usually in trouble. The guy that is hitting 240 is down the middle. And I want to be the guy down the middle.
Which you always are. Consistency and longevity. I love it. Well, what pros do you enjoy playing with? Billy Andrade, by the way, says hello. He's on the show this morning as well. And he said he played with you at the Bob Hope Classic.
Oh, yeah, no, he's, you know, and he's doing great on the seniors right now. He's playing great out there. I watch the seniors on TV all the time, and I see his name up there in the top 10 all the time. We used to go to a great sushi bar there in Palm Springs. Every time I would play the Bob Hope or the Sinatra even, you know, Andrade was there. That was sort of like a running date, is going to this one sushi bar, you know. And yeah, he's really a great guy. But you know, the guys, I got to play with everybody. You know, I was very lucky to get to play with. I got with Garcia a lot. So I played with Garcia a lot, and I played with all those guys from that era.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know, now I go down, if I go down to one of the tournaments and I walk, if I walk down the hitting area, I used to be able to stop at every single stall and talk with everybody because I knew them all. Now right. I know maybe 10%.
Really? Yeah.
I don't know who any of these guys are, you know.
A lot of young blood out there. You know, you're so different, Ellis, than your onstage persona. And, you know, through the years, people have asked me, what is Ellis Cooper really like? And it's when I get asked that, I always say, well, let's see. He's been married to the same woman all these years, Cheryl, who we love. He's the born again. His father was an evangelist. I keep telling people, Ellis is so different than, you know, the guillotines and the snakes and all the blood that he used to use on stage. And, you know, so different from your onstage persona. I love telling people what you're really like.
Well, you know, I mean, part of the trick at the beginning was to make everybody think that that character on stage was the character off stage, you know, and then I got to the point of realizing that that was really painting yourself into a corner. And I told this to Marilyn Manson. I've told this to everybody that has sort of that dark image on stage. I said, if you're going to be this character all the time, understand that you're going to get stuck there. So. Mm-hmm. There was a point when the whole world was terrified by Ellis Cooper, and then all of a sudden, you saw Ellis Cooper on Johnny Carson as a talking host on the DS, and it was making people laugh. You know, it was making Johnny laugh, and that was designed in order to let people know that I wasn't just that character. I wasn't just that character. But one of my best friends was Groucho Marx, you know, and. So I didn't just hang out with the rock and roll guys. I was hanging out with Jack Benny and George Burns and, you know, all those characters that I always wanted to meet. And they were the coolest guys. So it opened up my character so much. Now people could digest it a little more. You know, they'd see me in a movie playing somebody else, not Ellis Cooper. And they finally started realizing that I play the character Ellis Cooper. I'm not the character Ellis Cooper.
Right, exactly. You're so different from that character Ellis Cooper, and that's what makes it so compelling. Well, you have such variety in your music through the years. You know, songs like I Never Cry and You and Me, they're kind of sweet ballads. You know, you contrast those songs with, you know, the heavy metal stuff like School's Out or Poison or even I'm 18. So
yeah,
you know, a lot of variety in your music.
Well, that was something that was part of the shock value. You know, I mean, people were so used to calling me the godfather of shock rock and, you know, and that. And, yeah, the stage show was really like a dark vaudeville, you know, and with a sense of humor to it. And it still is. That's what the show is now, except I've probably got the best touring band of anybody out there. You know, the thing about it is like you have to be able to put comedy, horror, and rock and roll in the same bed, and they all work together. You know,
what a great strategy.
But and it really does work, and I think then everybody can go to see the show and they walk away going, I wasn't expecting that. I was not expecting that show to be that much fun. You know, Only Women Bleed. And You and Me, we had four ballad hits in a row. And mm-hmm. that was another part of the shock value because people were going, that can't be Ellis Cooper. Oh, come on, that can't be Ellis Cooper. Well, who wrote that song? Wait a minute, he wrote that song? You know, and it was a different dimension. I wanted to present, okay, I can also be this romantic character, you know. And all those songs were heartbreakers. And they were all hits because they really spoke to the heart. You know, Only Women Bleed was covered by 12 different women as a women's anthem. Mm-hmm. Tina Turner did it. Etta James did it. I mean, Lita Ford, all these people did that song, and they heard it as a woman's anthem, and that's what it became.
That variety certainly contributes to your legend, and And really, variety is the spice of life, kind of like your golf game, right? You need a lot of variety as far as golf shots go.
You know, I think it's kind of funny. The thing about golf that people don't realize is that when you do get to a point where you're shooting 75, 74, 76, 75, 74, you kind of look forward to those shots that are off where you have to invent a shot. You know, and nobody did that better than Tiger. Tiger could you know, you could put him, you know, in a garbage can and he would find a way to get up and down, you know.
Right.
But I kind of like it when I hit a shot and it's where you can't hit your normal shot and you have to figure a way to get that ball on the green. Then it becomes really kind of fun to, you know, to have that variety in the game.
That's right. The artist in you comes out. Well, you know, I have to commend you and your wife, Cheryl, do tremendous work for teenagers with your Solid Rock Foundation. You've built a teen center in Scottsdale to provide teens, you know, a safe haven and activities to keep them busy. And you know, the golf event that you host, you know, has built basically this teen center.
Yeah, you played that tournament a couple of, you know, many times.
Many years. I love it. Yeah. So, yeah. Great work. You seem to really have this, you know, you appeal to teenagers and you're 72 yet, you know, a lot of your songs spoke to teenagers and I still feel, do you still feel that at your age now you still have that audience, young and old, really?
I think it's if you don't act like a 72 year old man, you know, I mean, I'm not sitting around going, well, in my day, rock and roll was, if your ball gets in my yard one more time, I'm going to, you know, I probably listen to more rock than most teenagers do. And I probably know younger bands who they are. Not, I don't just listen to them. I find out who they are and I actually meet them and do shows with them. So when my daughter used to say, well, there's this new band called, you know, Nirvana, I go, yeah, I know. I know the guys in Nirvana. And she goes, what? I go, well, yeah, we're in the same business, you know.
You're so hip. And I know you just came out with the new song, Don't Give Up. Your songs have important messages. And this one, particularly during the pandemic, is so pertinent. Don't give up.
Well, you know, it's sort of, I got tired of being the victim. You know, I think that America was kind of like sold the fact that we're victims. How do we beat this thing? And I thought, let's write a song where Alice literally talks to the virus and tells it that we're the human race. We're not really afraid of you. Yeah, you're dangerous, but we're going to be here a lot longer than you are. And sort of punch the bully in the nose. I think that more people needed to hear that. They needed to hear that it's like Rocky getting up off the canvas and winning the fight. You know, that's what they wanted to hear. Let's be on the offense, not the defense on this thing. And, you know, I mean, that was just a different point of view, but I think people wanted to hear that. It gave them more encouraging.
Sure. Our enemy is a cold, indiscriminate monster. It exists to kill. Do we fear it? Yeah. Do we cower before it? Hell no. We're the blood and guts human race, and we win. Alice, yeah. You are the best. Thank you so much. I'd love to continue talking. I could talk to you forever, but I look forward to teeing it up with you again real soon, I hope.
And we had to cancel our tournament this year, but next year you should be playing in our tournament. You know, it's usually in April, so we'll be in touch with you.
I will be there. I can't wait. I loved playing in it all those years, and I will definitely be back.
Okay, thank you.
And thank you so much.
Good to talk to you again. It's been a long time.
Hit them straight, Alice Cooper. Know that you're loved by a lot of people. Thank you so much. My thanks to the great Alice Cooper, Hall of Famer and passionate golfer. My thanks to Billy Andre, PGA Tour and Champion Tour winner. And my thanks to Kyle Lynch in the studio. Be well, be safe, be active, be patient, and be loving. And I will talk to you next Saturday morning from 7 to 8, our new time, right here on Sports Interview with Anne Liguori.